The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 4, verses 1 to 13, where the words are in bold, we'll read those together. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, most of us have heard this story of Satan tempting Jesus. Jesus resists every temptation. It's kind of interesting, but we read this story and then we set it aside and don't think much more about it. But I want us to think about it for a few minutes. Here's why. There are two fundamentally different ways to understand this story. And how you understand this story profoundly impacts your faith and your life. Let me explain. This narrative of the temptation of Jesus raises a question. The question is, does the story describe what we should do when tempted? Or does it describe what Jesus has done for us? In other words, is the purpose of this story to present an example for us to follow when tempted? So when we're tempted, we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And then do what Jesus did in the story. Is that the primary purpose here? Or is this first and foremost a story that simply describes what Jesus has already done on our behalf? Those are two fundamentally different ways to understand the story of the temptation of Jesus. And two fundamentally different ways to understand the Bible and our relationship with Jesus. Here's why I'm bringing this up. I was raised in a Lutheran church, but in my early 20s, I started going to a very large non-denominational megachurch, in fact, the biggest church in Washington, Oregon, or Idaho at the time. I'd never been in a church like that one before in my life. The pastor wore white shoes and a white belt, and he had a southern accent, and he marched back and forth across the stage, waving his arms and shouting. I was mesmerized. But what really attracted me is what he had to say. He treated the Bible as though it were a handbook for living, chock full of invaluable instruction on how to gain God's favor and blessing in life. I loved it. I craved it. Here's why. We were taught that if you were poor, God would make you rich. If you were sick, God would make you well. If you were unhappy, God would make you giddy with joy. And it was up to you. It was up to you. You had control. All you had to do is follow the instructions found in God's Word. So, for example, today's gospel lesson, the temptation of Jesus. The takeaway from this piece of Scripture would be something like this. Jesus denied himself when tempted, and now he reigns in heaven at the right hand of God. So if you follow his example and resist temptation, you also will be richly rewarded, favored, and blessed by God. And not just in heaven, in this life too. That was the message. And the sermon would often refer to the text this way. It would offer some practical instruction on how to examine your life and find signs of gluttony, for example. Because Jesus denied himself by not eating bread, if you have a problem with overeating, then what you do is you learn to deny yourself, like Jesus. And you'll be blessed too. Or maybe your problem is greed. If that's the case, you'd listen carefully and learn to mimic Jesus when he refused Satan's offer to give him all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus refused to be greedy. And if you deny your greed, you'll be blessed too. That was the theme of the sermons. God will bless you in this life, but it's entirely up to you to take the steps needed to obtain the blessing. You are in the driver's seat. Just follow the law. The job of the church was to instruct you, to teach you the law, to tell you what steps you needed to take to earn God's favor. I loved those messages. I could not get enough. Just show me what to do. I'll do it. I'll follow the law of God. I want God's blessing. I'll be like Jesus. I'll resist temptation. Anything wrong with that? Well, when it comes to the story of the temptation of Jesus, presenting the story as an example for us to follow completely misses the point. The point of the story is not that Jesus resisted temptation to set an example for us to follow, and if we follow the example, we'll be blessed. The main point of the story is that Jesus resisted temptation because you can't. And neither can I. Jesus resisted the temptation of Satan in the wilderness and stayed true to his mission, which was to die as a sinless, atoning blood sacrifice for you and me. If he had given in to Satan, he would no longer have been sinless, would he? Jesus came to fulfill the law for us who are incapable of fulfilling it. That's the point. Read Matthew 5:17. If we understand what's going on, we're not so inspired to resist temptation. Instead, we're overcome with gratitude that Jesus resisted temptation. For us, who fall prey to temptation on a regular basis. You see, the Bible isn't so much a handbook for living It's much better described as the story of God redeeming humanity from our own sinfulness. There's one other issue I want to mention here. When the story of the temptation of Jesus is misrepresented as primarily an example to us of how we can resist temptation, that's trying to use the law to do the job of the gospel. Here's what I mean. To think you can gain God's favor or blessing or approval by keeping God's law is a joke. It's just not in us to do it. We're infected with a condition called sin. Sorry, but it's the truth. Read Romans 3:10 or Matthew 5 or 1 John 1:8 or a million other places in Scripture. Look within yourself. I mean, take a real honest look within yourself. It's ugly. Sorry. We receive God's favor and blessing not because we deserve it, but only because of His great mercy and compassion toward us. Only because Jesus died as a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins. That's the gospel. That's the good news of God's forgiveness. And it's the gospel, not the law, that saves us. You know, in my 20s and early 30s, I learned that the hard way. I tried to earn God's favor for a long time. Mostly I just pretended and put on a show for those around me, presenting myself in public as someone who was pious and saintly, as best I could do that, all the while wondering why everyone else was holy, but I had to fake it. I'm slow, but I eventually figured it out. Everyone was faking it. What a relief after years of calling myself a Christian to actually step into the light of God's forgiveness and recognize that God loves me anyway, despite my flaws. And finally quit pretending to be someone I'm not all the time. Even though I regularly fall prey to the temptations of Satan, Jesus never gave in to temptation. And that's what matters. That's the point. Because our lives today and our futures tomorrow and into eternity are in His hands, not ours. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a hard truth. Because we love to be in control. And we love to be told that we're in control. But the reality is that in the face of sin, we are helpless and completely dependent on You. Help us to see ourselves as we really are. And help us to recognize the magnitude of Your grace and forgiveness toward us. And cause us as a result to be filled with gratitude toward You and filled with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.